series. I call it a mini series. 2 weeks. Today is the second part and the last part. So, awesome. Right on the Money is the name of this series, because if you look what's written right on the money, it says, "In God we trust." And so we're talking about trusting God with our finances. And so today is part two of that. My sermon tonight, titled today, is how to have the right attitude about generosity. How to have the right attitude about generosity. Did you know you can do the right thing with the wrong attitude and it still miss the mark? Did you know you can do the wrong thing with the right attitude and miss the mark? You have to do the right thing, right attitude, to be blessed. And when it comes to giving generosity, we have to have generosity, but we have to have the right attitude. I don't want to give with a wrong attitude, with maybe a sense of obligation or a sense of have to or a sense of dread or reluctancy, and still give and miss the blessings. I want all of it. So if I'm going to give, I want to have the right attitude. And so today we're going to talk about how to have the right attitude when it comes to generosity. I want to take us to the book of 2 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he was writing to the church there in Corinth, and he's encouraging them about offering that they were going to take up. And he had two bits of encouragement that we're going to talk about today in this text, and two things that he was trying to convey to the church there. And the first was that they would be very generous, and the second would be very joyful in their generosity. And so it was about what they give, but also about how they give. How they gave, it's from the heart. And so he began his conversation with them, and he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, and Paul wrote to them, and he said, "I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready." Everybody say ready.
Ready.
And then he went on to say, "But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly." So Paul said to them, "I want you to be ready to give. I want you to be prepared." Paul did not want this church to gather, show up on Sunday when it was time to receive this offering and not be ready. He didn't want them to make a last second, hasty, unplanned, unprayed for decision about giving in this offering. He wanted them to be ready, be prepared ahead of time, to show up ready to go, "I get to give," to prepare. He was encouraging them to be ready. Now, how does this apply to us? Being ready means that we need to prepare before we show up to church on Sunday. It means that we want to be ready when we come to give, that we've already set aside a portion of what we're going to give to God. Ready means that I'm going to take some time before I jump into my month of spending and set aside a portion of what I'm going to give to God. Being ready means that I'm going to prioritize some of what I have to give to God. It means that before I show up at church, before the bucket comes around, I've already decided this is what I'm going to give. I'm ready for the offering. I'm ready. I'm prepared. Preparing ahead gives us the opportunity to prioritize our money. And by doing this, we're ready. We're excited to give. It's when the offering bucket comes around, instead of it being a last second, like, "Oh no, what am I going to give?" You elbow your wife or your husband and go, "What are you going to do? Are you going to put something in there?" And there's this moment of panic. What Paul is saying is that we should come ready to give. When we aren't ready to give, it creates a little bit of stress in our life. Most people, when that opportunity comes to give and we're not ready, what happens is we end up giving a little bit out of fear. We're like, "Oh, you know, the bucket's coming around, and we need to put $10 in it so the church will be happy with us, and we don't want to, somebody to find out that we didn't do something." And so we give out of like fear and obligation. And that's not the right heart. That's not what Paul wants us to do. He wants us to be ready to give. Let me bring it into a quick little example for you to help understand this. This week is my lovely wife's birthday. So when you, the pastor, and you get to preach, you get to get a little bonus every now and then, and you know, give a shout out to your wife for your birthday. So Wednesday is her birthday. So just think about it like this, though, when you think about being ready to give. It's her birthday. I want to give her a gift. If I know, and it happens every year, by the way, her birthday comes every year, same time, too. Like, it doesn't change. You know, it's the same time. So I have an opportunity to get ready to give. And if I have prepared, if I have taken some time at the beginning of the month to set aside a little money and prepared to give her a gift, if I went shopping and got her something that I knew she wants, then by the time her birthday gets here, then I'm ready to give. Then I'm excited to give because it's not a burden to me. It's like, hey, I get to give you a gift. What happens sometimes, and sweetie, I'm sorry to tell you this, there have been a few years that I procrastinated and her birthday appeared before I was ready. And then I go to work, and then it's, you know, birthday evening, and I still don't have a gift, and then I move into stress because now I have to hurry and go find something. And you know what happens? You know what we do, guys and ladies. It's bad news. But what we do is, this is when we do the handwritten card and we try to pretend that we really put our whole heart into it. What it really means, ladies, is we forgot, and it's all we can do. And then we put $20 in there and go, "Happy birthday." You know what happens at that point when we procrastinate, when I procrastinate giving to her for her birthday? It puts a burden on me. And then instead of it being joyful, it becomes grudgingly. It becomes a panic. Instead of being like, hey, I get to give her a gift, instead of being willing because I didn't prepare, then it becomes stress. Instead of that, oh yes, this is great, it's, oh no, I'm drunk. Any guys been there? Oh, come on, dudes. Help me out. Come on. I know you're afraid to admit it. She's in there. But it's true. It happened. We've all done it. There's a great quote that says, failure to plan is planning to fail. If you fail to plan to bring God a gift, most likely you'll either give grudgingly, haphazardly, or reluctantly, or not at all. Paul wants us to prioritize our giving. Paul wants us to plan ahead. He wants us to be ready. So when the bucket comes around, instead of it being a burden, it becomes a blessing to give. Amen? So Paul, he's encouraging us to be ready to give. And then he says this in verse 6, carrying on with this part of the text. He says, remember this. He says, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Why did Paul write this? Well, honestly, I think it's pretty obvious. You probably don't have to be an expert horticulturalist to figure this one out. But he's saying that if you plant a few seeds, you're going to get a small crop. If you plant generously, get a generous crop. And I think the heart of it is Paul did not want them to show up that Sunday and give a half-hearted, unprepared tip. I think he's like, put your heart into this and give generously. I think that was his heart behind it. But I was studying this verse this week, and I was kind of pondering the thought about few seeds and a lot of seeds and few seeds, small crop, and a generous crop. And I think it's obvious to understand that if we plant five seeds, we get five plants, and you know, there's a harvest from that. If you plant 10, there's 10 plants. And I mean, I think all that kind of makes sense. And I was kind of pondering this, though, and I thought, but that's not exactly what the Bible is saying here. I don't think that God is trying to dupe us into a prosperity gospel to where I can stand in front of you and say, hey, you need to give more so you can get more. Have you heard that before? You give more, you get more. Give more, you get more. I don't think God's up in heaven going, yay, I'm teaching them how to get more. I don't think that's the heart of it. And so I was pondering this thought about few seeds, small crops, generous, generous. And I think the way I think I have personally either misquoted it or heard it misquote, it's always thought it said, a few seeds, a small crop, lots of seeds, and a big crop. It doesn't say big or large. It says generous. And I was pondering that because I feel like I have a bit of revelation that God shared with me about this. And so let me share it with you. A small harvest would be when a farmer has 10 acres of land and he only sows on 1 acre. The potential to sow on 10 acres is there. He's got 10 beautiful acres, flat, tilled up, ready to go. He looks out at his farm, 10 acres, and he sows on 1 acre. I think that would be small compared to the potential that is there. On the other hand, if a farmer has 1 good acre to plant, and it's all tilled out, and he sows and fills up 1 acre, I think that's generous. You see, God isn't about the quantity of the gift. It's about the heart. And that's why he says generous. Because to some people, 1 acre is generous. To some people, 1 acre is small. I think God wants us to give according to our potential, according to what he has given to us. On the money, it says, in God we trust. We kind of slipped that last week to say, can God trust us with money? And I think the point is, if we have the potential to give according to a 10-acre tract and we only give at 1 acre, then we're small givers. But if we have the capacity to give at 1 acre and we sow 1 acre, then that's generous. Significantly different. Generosity isn't about the quantity, but the quality of the heart. In proportion to what we have. I'll say it like this. A small harvest would be when someone has the ability to give $1,000 a month and they only give $100. That would be small. A generous gift would be when someone has $100 a month to give and they give $100. You see, it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. It's about proportion to what you have. Generosity. God wants us to be generous in proportion or as a percentage of what God has given to us. And so again, God trusts us with what he has given us. And not everyone is going to give at the same amount. Not everyone in our church body is going to give the same level. But we're going to give with the same heart. It's always about the heart. Amen?
Amen.
So, Paul wasn't trying to get you rich. He's trying to give from our hearts. And so Paul then says this about giving. Paul says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Let me ask you a question. Where do you usually make your decisions? Right here. Logically. Reasonably. Because that's where we think. That's where we make decisions. But Paul said, you must decide in your heart how much to give. I'll tell you why. Because if I make all my decisions about giving from my mind, I can come up with 10 reasons why I shouldn't give this month. I can come up with 10 reasons to tell you that it's Christmas, car needs some repairs, I need to pay off a credit card, and I could go right through and find you 10 quick reasons why right here, logically, reasonably, I would say no. But when I give from the heart, you need to understand, it's a spiritual decision. I'm giving from the heart. I'm giving because the Word teaches us to give and because I trust God with what I'm going to give. It's spiritual. This week I was at Sisterhood, one of the dudes in Sisterhood, because I served there. I believe that everyone should serve in church, even the pastor. So every Tuesday night, I serve in Sisterhood running the tech, and I'm glad it's easy, but that's where I serve. And this week, Harriet made a comment that I thought was like, I'll just repeat it, some things are worth repeating. And she said that the Bible is spiritual and not just a history book, and that you have to approach it from a spiritual way of understanding, because there are some things in the Bible that don't always line up with what you think. But if we approach it from a spiritual place, then we can buy into it. We can grab a hold of that in the spirit realm. And so what I'm saying to you is that when it comes to giving, we make a decision based on our heart. Our decision is Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, I think you are the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. And I want to sow back to you. I want to give back to you. It's from my heart. It's a place of worship. And so, God, I give back to you, not because reasonably I know it, but I know in my spirit what Christ has done for me. Amen? Each of you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Giving from our heart is giving because we want to give to God. Not because we feel like we have to give to God. When we give out of want to, it's a place of worship for us. It's a place for us to honor God with what He's given us. Paul said that God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful. You give cheerfully? I wonder if you have ever gotten to the end of one of our services and it's time for the offering and you begin to celebrate. Wow! It's time to give! Like, you know, that move, like, that's why we let you sit down when you give. So. But I mean, like, do you celebrate? Do you celebrate giving? Do you look down the road and like, hey, hurry the fuck it up? Get it down to my seat. It's my turn to give. Wow, come on. Have you ever thought, man, why don't they put the giving before the worship? Because I love to give. It's so exciting to give. Like, are you cheerful in your giving? Are you like, man, I love it. It's so great. Well, the Bible says that God loves it when our attitude about giving is cheerful. It's an attitude that He's looking for. But why does God love a cheerful giver? Why does He look at us and we have a great attitude and we're cheerful about? Why does God go, I love that? What is it about that God goes, I love that? I love it. Why? Well, we're going to play a little game together so we can find out why God loves a cheerful giver. And so we're just going to play a game. You're all okay with the game today? You don't have to do anything except cheer or boo. And and actually, this is for the ladies. Guys, I'm sorry. You're out of this game. This is just for the ladies in the house. And so we're going to do a little game where you either cheer or you boo me. Not now, but like you're going to cheer or boo me when I give Mary a gift. And so you're either going to go, that was really good, cheer, really bad, boo. All right, let's practice. Let's practice booing for just a minute. I want you to boo just like you saw someone kick a puppy. No. I don't pay much for it. That kind of makes you mad with your boo, doesn't it? Everybody would boo. All right, let's cheer. Just like you found out, Hallmark's coming out with a whole new set of Christmas movies, ladies. Alright, so it's Harriet's birthday, and I want you to hit that. That's a good cheer. And so based on my attitude about how I give Harriet this gift, ladies, you can either boo because you think I should be doing a better job, or you can cheer because you think, oh, great job, Pastor Tim. So, my love, I have a new car. Scenario number one. Scenario number one. You don't know what's in it. Scenario number one. It's Sunday afternoon. The Cowboys are on TV. So what we won't say the Cowboys. We'll say, hey, America's favorite team is on the television. And Harriet is over there scrolling through Instagram because she's totally bored with the game. And I look over her and I go, hey, it's a commercial. Honey, it's your birthday. Glad you made it another year. Here's a card. Got it? Cool. Let's turn up the game. That's bad news, isn't it? Bad news. What if, though, different scenario, I said, Harriet, my love. Oh, my gosh. I knew your birthday was coming because it comes every year at the same time. And I got ready, and I knew something you wanted, and I wanted to get you something that would help you get what you wanted. And so, sweetie, I went last week, and I picked up this card for you. I love what it says, and I wanted to give this to you because I love you, and I love spending another year with you. I can't wait the next year. And way better, right? Way better. As the receiver of that gift, which did she feel love from? Because I gave her the same thing, but if you give it with the wrong attitude, then it's boo. If we give to God with the wrong attitude, out of obligation, then we miss the blessing that comes with it. God wants us to give from our heart because we love Him and we worship Him. And He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our gift. He's worthy of us taking a little time in the beginning of the month and say, I'm going to set aside something for God. He's worthy of us coming into the house of the Lord with our gift ready to go. He's worthy when that bucket comes around. We say, yes, God, I get to give to you because you're worthy and you're worth it. And I put that in the offering and I say, God, this is a part of my life. I give it back to you. But you've given me more than I could ever give you. So I'm always at a loss, but this is the best I can do right now. I love you, God. Do you think God looks down there and goes, that's my boy? Thank you for that gift. That's why the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, sweetie, I did get you a gift. I went to the card store, and I'm telling you what, they need some help. Whoever writes the cards out now, they're terrible. That's hard to find a card that expresses your heart and the depths of what you want to say. If I ever decide to stop pastoring, if I'm like, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go into the card writing business. But I got you. I'm going to show you your card. I'm going to open your card for you. That's awesome. Because I thought the cards were funny. And so, I have your card. I'm going to read you your card. Everybody can listen in on a moment. To my truly wonderful wife.
Yay!
Yeah. I don't have the perfect fashion sense. I may not always notice the subtle changes in your hair. My jokes can be annoying, though that's really rarely my intention. That thing about the toilet seats, beyond my comprehension. There's room for some improvement in my diet, I suppose. But I do deserve some credit for the perfect wife I chose. And look, and it even has a pop-up. A pop-up. So good. So my love, here's your card, and there is a little gift card in there for you. And I really love you, and I want to thank you. I think it means you. Boys, isn't that better to give from a place of joy and a place of cheerfulness, and we get to give to God? That's what God wants from from us. He wants it to be something that we have a blast doing. He never wanted giving to be a drudgery and something we tack on at the end of the service and go, well, I hope they give the money today. Listen, God is not for your money. He is for your heart. And if you can't give it with your whole heart, then don't give it at all. If you can't say, God, I love you, and I want to give to you, then just hold on to it. We need to put our whole heart into it. In the culture of the day that this was written, they used scales and a balance to determine the value of what was given, or what, you know, was a transaction. And so what they did is they had a system of weights, and then based on the weight of something, determine the value of something. And so if they put some silver or gold on one side of the scale, then they would weigh it with a system of weights to determine what the value was. And so the weight of something meant the value of something. And so the whole message, I brought to this one thought for you today. You can see it on the screen. The way you give is as important as the weight you give. The way you give, the heart you give, is just as important as the weight you give. We should plan and prioritize our giving to God. We should give in proportion to our potential. And we should give from our heart as a place of worship. This is what pleases God. And so now, the last verse for the day, Apostle Paul is teaching his church, and he concludes this thought with us in verse 8. And he says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God will generously provide all you need. I heard Pastor Matt Blair say this week. We were talking on the phone, and he made this statement, and so I wrote it down because I thought, that's really good. I'm using it again. I'm going to give him credit this time. Next time it's mine. But I heard Pastor Matt say this, that God doesn't promise prosperity, but he promises provision. Provision, that's what it says. And the thought is can you trust God when you give? And that's what Paul is saying. Can you trust God when you give? That's what's written right on the money. In God, we trust. Can you trust God when you give? Amen? Amen. So here's how we teach generosity at LifeCC. Real quick, you can put these four words in your notebook. If you go to our Next Step class, we have the first three. I added this fourth one this week. But the four words are this: priority, percentage, progressing, participate. Think about this when it comes to generosity in church. Priority. We make giving a priority. This is on a personal level. Here and there, we make giving a priority. Meaning, the first, we give to God first. He is the most important thing in our life. And so we're going to plan, we're going to prepare, and we're going to set aside. And our first thing we do with our money is we give something to God. We go, this is what we give to God. And so it's a priority in our life. It's our place of worship to God because we prioritize God. Percentage means we give a set percentage every month. In other words, we give in proportion to what we have. We know that we have a farm that can farm, let's say we're a 6-acre family, let's just call it that. 6-acre family, we want to sow 6 acres. So we want to give in proportion to what we have. And so it's a percentage. I believe that we should give as a percentage. Now some of you may be thinking, well, I can't give 10%. Because that's what tithe means, 10%. And I want to say to you that I'm not so concerned about what your percentage is that you have from your heart decided, God, this is what I can do. This is what our family can do. This is what we can set aside, and this is what we can give to God. I would rather you give 3% every month as an act of your heart and your worship to God, and you sow that into the ground, and you believe, God, this is what I can sow right now. And you be faithful and consistent with what you can do. And then watch God bless. Because that's what you can do. That's your farm right now. And God said, well, that's generous. I can work with that. God can bless a generous heart. Amen? Amen. Progressing. Progressing means that I work at progressing the amount I give. We work at progressing. So when I get a raise, instead of just increasing my budget on video games, I say, you know what? A portion of this I'm going to give to God. I'm going to increase my giving as I have capacity to give. As God is blessing my farm, now that I have 7 acres to farm, I want to give a proportion of that. And so I want to progress. And the last is participate. And we believe that everyone can participate in giving to God at Life Church. Everyone can participate. Now, everybody doesn't give the same amount. Everybody doesn't give the same $1,000 every month. You give what you can give from your heart, but I believe that we are all called to participate in the kingdom through giving. We all just participate. We all do what we can do, and we participate. For some, that may mean this month, you start thinking about it. You start thinking, okay, I'm going to plan and prepare, and instead of going to Starbucks three times this month or this week, I'm going to not do that. I'm going to take those dollars, and I'm going to show up to church ready to give my $10. And then it's a place of worship, even a little sacrifice. God, maybe you pack your lunch instead of eating out. Whatever it takes, maybe you can pay down some debt. You get in a position where I can participate in giving at my church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I want to close with this one little last part for us this year. Every year at the end of the year, we have a giving opportunity. We have a year-end offering that we take up every year. And we have, over the last 3 or 4 years, we have taken up really big offerings towards our land, towards our building and construction. And I honestly, I've been blown away at the generosity of this church over the years. So much has been brought in. This year, as we began to pray with our staff and seek God about this year of offering, we believe the Lord spoke to us and said, this year, the year in offering isn't for us, but it's for our city. And 100% of what comes in this offering is going to be used to bless our city in some capacity. Instead of calling this year an offering Heart for the House, it's going to be Heart for the City. We're going to take everything that comes in this offering at the end of the year, and we're going to bless nonprofit organizations that are helping our city and serving our city. We're going to find out what the needs are in our city. We're going to bless, honestly, church of our size, our capacity, our potential is we should collect over $50,000. We've collected way over that in the past. $50,000 that we could make a larger contribution to our city through our church. Several years ago, Harriet and I were reading a book about churches, and one of the things we read said, if your church ceased to exist, would your city miss you? And that's kind of sat in our spirit ever since. And one of the things that I want to do with this offering is to make sure our city will never miss Life Church. Because we have shown up, we've served it, we have loved it, we've given to it, we've all pitched in to make a difference in our city. So on December 29th, I'm asking you to prepare. Set aside something. Don't spend it all on Christmas. And say, God, this year I'm going to make an offering with my church because we have a heart for our city. Amen? Amen. Do you like that? Come on, give it back. I love it. I love it.